I would have you open your Bibles to 1 Peter, and I'm going to read several verses, but really verse 4 is the pretext, context of our the message. You'll see kind of where I'm going with this evening. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the," and this is kind of the point of it, "even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful for today. Not that you've just given us another day, and it was a day that we could rejoice in because it was a special day. But Lord, this is all about you, and we pray that you were honored by all that was said and done, that you were truly worshiped today. We just thank you and ask you to be with us now this evening as we've worshiped you in song and preparing hearts already for the Christmas holiday coming up. But Father, we ask now you would continue to speak to us through your word, that we'd glean something, that we might be thinking about what you would have for each and every one of us. So bless this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know all of you should be familiar over the last several weeks. Actually, it's probably even been a couple months by now, but I'd been preaching on what a Christian is, who or what a Christian is, and that Christians are to be effective and a number of things. But tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about a Christian should decorate themselves. And, you know, we get to that season that everybody wants to start decorating. We decorated our church building. Sometimes the ladies will go out and buy a new outfit or dust off the outfit they only wear from last Christmas. I know this tie gets worn like twice a year. Christmas is one of them. And you'd say, well, it doesn't look like Christmas. It's red and green. That's Christmas. And so, you know, we decorate things. We decorate ourselves. But many times it's for a single day, a single moment, a special event. Not that any of those things are wrong, but we need to be thinking about how are we as Christians decorating ourselves? What do people see? Now, the signs up there was on one of the displays. It showed a Christmas tree with all the ornaments and the lights. You may have a Christmas tree in your home, and you've got light bulbs on it and bulbs on it and tinsel hanging on it and all kinds of things. And we decorate those. But do you realize we are decorating ourselves as Christians? Every day when we get up and get dressed, we're putting on ornaments. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, is that we need to be decorating ourselves for others to see Christ. And that's what I'm seeing here in our text. I mean, it does go well into it, speaking about a wife that, in subjection to her own husband, that obey not the word, and he's lost and she's saved. And he said, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward plaiting of the hair. It's not about how you look outwardly. For the Christian, we put on the ornaments of Christ within, which then are manifested without for everyone to see. I think of it with many, many good Christian men and women that I've been familiar with over time, and some pastors in particular where, you know, they just look like the average man, but when you talk to them, they just are men of grace. And some young women with just a very sweet spirit. I think of the, I might be wrong in the name of the, I think the Wonderful Life Christmas story, and it's got Jimmy Stewart in it and his wife, Mary Bailey. And to me, she's just got that sweet spirit. She holds the family together and holds him together. And she just exudes what a Christian life should be like. She is dressing herself, wearing the ornaments of Christ in her life, and many Christians are the same way. And that's what I see here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, though there are a couple other verses we'll be looking at. It says, but let the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And so we're to put on the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And another term we use that's very similar to this is we'd say, boy, they have a sweet spirit about them. You just can sense the Holy Spirit. He's just oozing all over the place. They're just coming out, and it's like they don't have to even say anything. It's just, you just sense it. You know it. And that's what our church services are about as well. They should be that we just ooze the Holy Spirit of God. And we don't have to say things, but when we lift up our voices in worship and in praise and through the preaching of the Word of God, that visitors and other people, they get goosebumps going, man, somebody didn't step on my grave, but something's going on here. And it's that meek and quiet, that sweet spirit. And again, as though our text is speaking here about a lady in particular with an unsaved man, and that it's not about her beating him up with the Bible and about how she dresses herself up, is that she is to live her faith. And it's that way for every one of us within our marriage relationships, but beyond that, in every area of our lives, about decorating ourselves. We are to humble ourselves. It tells us in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. With that sweet spirit, that meek and quiet spirit, those are the humble kind of people. Now, there's been times I've had people, I still see it. I was actually what is now Pastor Walker's office. I was up there at one time until I got tired of going up and down the steps all the time. And I had a young woman that wanted to talk about some things that were going on, and she goes, I'm the most humble person I know. I had a hard time not laughing at her face. And unfortunately, there are a number of people thinking that way, but truly humble people have that sweet spirit, and they don't seek it. Everybody knows it. They are just, humility comes second nature. And it's to be that way with each and every one of us Christians. We should never have to point out ourselves as being humble. It's who we are. As Christians, we talked earlier about being effective Christians. It should be who we are. And those are ornaments that we hang on ourselves. Actually, Christ has hung on us as we put him on every day, not just at Christmas time. Not just on special days, but every day. We see it. We could have read on a few more verses. It was talking about Sarah and how she was that same way with her husband. And that she was a good helpmeet to him. And she trusted in the Lord, doing the living of the Word of God. And she was fair to look upon, but beautiful on the inside as well. Now, I know many years ago, natural man has a tendency, we look at you young ladies, and you can have a burlap bag on and look really attractive. And it wasn't until many years later, as the Lord taught me through saving me, that it was no longer about the external appearance of young ladies. It was, you could see that sweet spirit about them. You could just by how they walked, and I don't mean in a style of, in a manner of life, but how they held themselves, carried themselves, how they talked to other people. And you go, wow, what a sweet lady. And I know they might say, well, I'm just very plain Jane, and I'm not as pretty as this. And it's like, I could honestly say you have to be one of the most attractive ladies I've ever seen. And it's because of what's going on in here. The outward really doesn't mean anything. That only appeals to the flesh. And we as Christians, and men, this applies to us as well, is that we are to exude the Holy Spirit in us. We are to be a meek and quiet spirit. It should be a part of who we are. One of my favorites, in the Bible, of course, there's a number of them, but I think of Abigail. Was the wife of Nabal at first, and David was just going, he was just a mean old guy, and didn't want to help King David. King David went to him for help, and King David did right by him, and he wasn't going to help King David. He just wanted what he wanted for himself, and David got mad. Those are times I kind of enjoy watching David, because he flared up. He'd get upset about something, kind of like I get at times, and my first instinct is to get mad. Man, I'm going to teach them. And he was going to straighten Nabal out. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, had that sweet spirit, that meek and quiet spirit. And she understood King David, some things about him, and he needed to be settled down or things are going to get ugly in a hurry. And she went to David with gifts and settled him down. And he had a chance, a man of God, had a chance to cool off and settle down. Why? Not because of Nabal, not because of himself, but because of a sweet spirit, a meek spirit. She was decorated, not outwardly, but inwardly. And because of that, David calmed down. Now, of course, Nabal, we found out he was in and ended up getting killed anyways, and Abigail became his wife. But we saw that, and there are many other examples about that internal adorning of having a good understanding, a beautiful countenance. She helped save her own husband and later, again, married David. And we said it in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 through 35, if you want to take the time to go look at it. But the ornaments of a sweet spirit are not of outward appearances only. And believe me, ladies, there's nothing I don't personally have. If you want to put a little lipstick on, you know, we all can. It doesn't hurt us to maybe help ourselves look a little better maybe sometimes. If nothing else, for our own example. I know I go to the mirror every day and I couldn't put enough anything on. I look at that and I go, I need a smaller mirror. But you know, it doesn't matter even for me, in that I want people to see Christ in me. It doesn't matter what I look at in that mirror. And yeah, if there's things I can do, you know, now I can't grow enough hair because what little I have is falling out. So I'm letting a little bit grow here. It's not any good either. It's the best I can do. But those things don't matter. It's about what's going on in here. And it doesn't matter whether you're a young Christian, whether you're an older Christian, or anywhere in between. Every day as we put on Christ, we are putting on the ornaments of a Christian. And especially one should be of a meek and quiet spirit. It's not about the plaiting of the hair and the putting on of gold and apparel. And even when those things are done appropriately and rightly. But our focus, if we would focus on our internal adorning as much as we do on the external adorning. Yeah, I'm already getting myself in trouble. So you're saying I spend too much time. No, you probably don't have to spend near as much time as you may. You may think you do, but you don't. Ladies, I see each and every one of you, and to me, you are all very attractive. You don't need to put any extra stuff on. You look great. But it's because of what's going on in here. And that's what I see. That's what I see here tonight. And I think of that. And I really think of my wife for so many years. She would always dress up to try and please me. And there was, unfortunately, a time when I needed that. But of course, when I got saved, the Lord changed all those things. And all I see is her natural beauty. That what God has done in her. And I think we all need to start focusing on that outward and not the inward. Now, a little bit about the word adorning in this verse. In the Greek is the word kosmos, K-O-S-O-M-O-S, which means cosmos, C-O-S-M-O-S, the ordered universe. And from it comes the word cosmetic. Ladies, some of you might not have understood that. Now, you learned something. And therefore, that adorning then should be the opposite of chaos. It should be about being under control. What control is that? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. A meek and quiet spirit. And just because everybody else might be wearing and showing off themselves, that's not what others need to see. And if we need that for our own self-esteem, we have to ask, why? I am what God has made me. Is that not enough? Is God not pleased with who you are right at this moment? Do we have to try and make ourselves something we're not? Again, I might get myself into trouble. I don't know who has tattoos or don't have tattoos here. I hope you don't as a Christian. But when we have to adorn ourselves with these, with body art and all kinds of piercings that go everywhere, you have to ask why a Christian needs that. Now, I understand the world, they do that and why they do that. I had earrings and all kinds of stuff many, many years ago. And I know why I did it. I went to impress people in one way or another. But as a Christian, I realized, not just through the Word of God, but as the Holy Spirit worked me, going, why do you want that stuff? God made you who you are. You need to be satisfied with that. You don't need ink. You don't need hardware placed in your nose and everywhere else that these things are. Because it's really saying, God, you made a mistake. And we may think we're a mistake, but we're not to God. And it's about, again, what's going on within us that we need to be most concerned. We need to have that meek and quiet spirit, that sweet spirit. Let us adorn ourselves inwardly, putting on the gifts of the Spirit. We see in Galatians chapter 5, and I know many of you know this, but I'm going to have us turn there. If nothing else, it's a good reminder. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that's something that is an inward thing that needs to be seen outwardly. That's the number of thing first mentioned, number one thing mentioned here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let us manifest, or let us put on, adorn those things within us that now come naturally through the Holy Spirit of God. But you can't just, well, I'm saved, I got the Holy Spirit, so now everybody just sees how sweet I am. That's not often the case. We need to put it on. We need to make an effort. As we make the effort to decorate ourselves outwardly, we need to make an effort to decorate ourselves inwardly, allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. Let them see our love and our joy and our peace and our long-suffering, our gentleness, our goodness, our faith, our temperance. Let people see the internal character of who we now are in Christ Jesus. Not our old character, or not our trying to be a character, but what is now going on in our lives through the Holy Spirit of God as we have placed on Christ and now are ornamenting ourselves inwardly. It's not about primping and putting fancy things on outwardly. But it's about bringing glory to God by who we now are in Christ. We've been reminded in 1 Corinthians 6:20, ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. And glorify Him in your body and in your spirit, that meek and quiet spirit, which are God's. We may not have all been blessed with a perfect countenance or a form, and that's okay. We watch too much TV that tells you have to look this way. You have to weigh this much, and you have to look this way, and if you don't, you're ugly. And that's because that's the world, and that's what success is in the world. And for a Christian, especially Christian men, if that's what you're looking for, you have a problem. And the best thing for a Christian woman is to not have anything to do with you. They need to be looking about what they've put on to adorn themselves within. And they will be the most gorgeous woman they'll ever have laid their eyes on, because it just oozes out for everyone to see. I see that again, ladies, to you all here tonight. And men, it should be the same thing for ladies to see us. Now, yeah, we're all dressed up, got our suits on, our red and green, and looking very Christmassy. But hopefully they look beyond our two-piece suit or three-piece suit and go, you know, that's a good Christian man. He loves the Lord. And because I know he loves the Lord, he'll love me. He'll love my daughter. He'll love their grandchildren. And there is that inward manifesting itself outwardly through a meek and a quiet spirit. And so we need to adorn ourselves of the heart and not just the head. Again, I think about Ruth with Boaz and how he fell in love with her. She respected her mother-in-law, and how she honored her, and how she was willing to work. And everybody noticed it, and Boaz noticed it. I bet you she could have been the ugliest thing in the world, at least ugly in the eyes of the world. But she was probably the most attractive woman to Boaz, and probably to anybody else who had any sense of spirit within them. We need to follow Christian examples in our own lives. And the Bible's filled with those examples. Not about the worldly things, but adorning ourselves with a humble and a meek spirit of God in us, not of this world. Let our sweet spirit be a meek and a quiet spirit. Humble ourselves before Christ. As Luke 14:11 says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall what? Be exalted." You know, we all want to be exalted. Well, be like Christ. Let the fruit of the Spirit be manifest in your life, and you will be exalted because everybody sees it. And they want to be around you. They may not want your religion. That's what they're thinking in their minds. But they still want to hang out with you. Why? A meek and a quiet spirit. Let us think about those things at Christmas time. What are we putting on? Yeah, decorating ourselves like we decorate our tree, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's our main focus, we got a problem. Then I think we need to look at another ornament. We can see about the ornament of a wise reprover in Proverb chapter 25, the 25th proverb. Proverb 25. And I'm going to read just two verses, verse 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And so here we see about an ornament of a wise reprover. As a counselor of truth, upon an obedient ear is as of fine gold. Why is it so many times Christians go to non-Christians for spiritual questions? We don't go to the plumber to get electrical advice. Why would a believer go to a non-believer to get the answers that they can't give you? We need to seek counselors of truth. We need to be wise reprovers as well for ourselves and to benefit others. Be wise in what and how we say the things of reproof. Don't just talk to get glory for self, but for God's glory. Speak with grace, always lifting up others, edifying others. I know you hear me say it probably almost every time I speak. But it is always, always, always about others. It's always about building them up. And we think, yeah, well, then that makes me look bad. No, it doesn't. It does only to us. They recognize it. They see it. That's an ornament within us, in that we care enough about them that we, their benefit, their esteem is more important to us than our own. And it reveals Christ in us, because Christ always built people up. He never tore them down. Nor should we. And sometimes reproof is needed, but some people may call it judgment. If our hearts are right, and it is spoken to help and to edify, we must wisely reprove one another. And we'll come to a third grace that I'll mention here already, but with an ornament of grace. It's tied into that ornament of a wise reprover. We need to be obedient to the word of God that's spoken and written to us. Elijah was obedient to the word of God even when it meant he could have been killed or imprisoned. We think about persecution that's going on in America, and there is some true persecution in America today, not much, but the day is coming that we will see true persecution. We may be falsely imprisoned. Pastor Walker and I may need your visit one day, because we're going to stick by the stuff. We're going to preach it until they quiet us one way or another. And that may happen to you if you are unafraid to preach the gospel to your neighbors and your friends. And we could even be killed for it, but we need to be obedient to the word of God. And obedience shows God that we fear him and that we love him and that he is more important to us than our own lives. You know, a lot of times we can say those things, but are you willing to die for Christ? I mean, when things are safe and quiet, it's like, oh yeah, I'm ready to die for you, Jesus. His disciples said the same thing. What did they do? You know, it was like kind of like the cockroaches with the lights come on. And that's the way many Christians are today. Persecution is coming. But if we've decorated ourselves, put on the ornaments of a wise reprover, of a meek and quiet spirit, others will see it and we will be obedient to our God and to our King. Our obedience should be seen as an ornament on us. And unfortunately, Christianity has been hurt by many Christians because of their disobedience. Well, why do I want to be like them? I'm a liar and a skunk, and so why do I want to be around one of these people to tell me they're a Christian, but they're a liar and a skunk? Yeah, I was that way for 42 years. I didn't want anything to do with Christians. They were worse than me. That's how I saw it. Why? What did they put on every day? They put on the same world that I put on. They were no longer, or never were, maybe obedient to the truth of the word of God. We need to put on the obedience as an ornament of God, an ornament of affection. And it will show on our countenance and our faith and in us as a person. And you know, people won't see those little flaws that we think everybody stares at because they see Christ. And if they see Christ, they see nothing else. When we are in this book, when we're lifting up our voices in song and in praise, when we see Christ, we don't see anything else. It's when we leave these doors and our focus gets off of what we just heard, what we just saw, what we just sang, and our focus is back on the same things of the world, and that's what we see, and that's where our expectations go back to. We already begin to take off the ornaments of Christ in us and begin to look again like the world. And then that takes us to the third and the last, though there are other ornaments, but we need to put on the ornament of grace. In Proverb 4, the fourth proverb, Proverb 4. I'm going to read verse 9 first. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Then I'm also going to read Proverb, the first Proverb, and verse 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Here we see two places speaking about that ornament of grace. And the last one we just looked at is about how we as children should be looking at the instruction of our mothers and our fathers. And that's an ornament of grace. And why is that? How many children are naturally obedient to their parents and naturally want to listen to what they have to say and take it to heart and actually maybe even do something with it? Why? I mean, they're our parents. They're not that smart as I am, you know, and we don't take it. So, you know, you guys find out how quick you get smart when you get old. But we need to have that ornament of grace. And part of that is listening to the instruction of our elders. They know some things. Formal education isn't everything. It is helpful. But practical living, I've lived a lot more years than my sons. I still deal with this with my own boys. But I've got 25 more years of life experiences. But they think, oh, well, Dad, you just don't know anything. Now they're finding out how much I now know and that they didn't know everything. That is that ornament of grace that's put on as we, and some of it has to just do with growing up and maturing, recognizing things. But again, as Christians, it should be a natural part of who we are, an ornament of grace. Wisdom comes from knowledge and the fear of God, it tells us in Proverbs 1:7, and we're to wear it as an ornament of God's grace in our lives. Not our grace, but the grace of God. A crown of glory everyone will see or sees the man of true wisdom, and they make good decisions and had confidence in what they do. We're to wear the ornament of grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By God's grace, we're saved. And when you get saved, your life changes. If you say, well, my life didn't change, did you really get saved? We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. If your life has not changed, you got to ask yourself for your own benefit, am I really saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, the grace of God, by the faith in Christ that we're saved, that ornament of grace through faith. Because grace comes from our God. And He is the only one that can add to our faith because it comes from Him. God gives the gift of grace to the humble. And we talked about that in James chapter 4, verse 6. We need to be careful that as we get wisdom, that we don't use it wrongly, that we don't feel puffed up about ourselves. And that's can sometimes become a problem with preachers and teachers, is as we learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we study the Word of God, people ask us questions, and we can start to feel like, hey, I know something. You know, I've kind of arrived. Be careful when you start feeling really good about yourself, about what you know, because you're only revealing to yourself what you don't know. And they don't, and then that hopefully they're smart enough to know, don't go back and talk to them. Go right to the source. But God gives grace to the humble, and we need to be careful about our wisdom and what we do with it and how it affects our own lives. Many of the great men of the world have been humble servants with great wisdom. And this isn't a man that many people oftentimes think about as a religious man, but I think about Abraham Lincoln. and how that, he made more than his fair share of mistakes, so I'm not trying to give him any extra glory, but in a very tumultuous point in American history, how he trusted God for decisions he made. And yeah, his all decisions weren't always the right things, but when he trusted God, he did good by America. When we've had presidents that trusted God, great things happen in America. And it needs to be that way in our own personal lives and in our leadership and us as husbands and fathers in our lives as well. Many of the great men of this world have been humble servants, and that's what we're to be, merely humble servants. Lord, my life is yours. You use me as you see fit. Mold me and make me. That's kind of a chorus I don't hear much sung about. Mold me and make me and shape me, form me to be who you want me to be. And when people see that, they see Christ. And if they can see Christ in you, you've accomplished something. Of course, you haven't done it, but you've allowed the Holy Spirit working within you, that meek and quiet spirit. The bestowing of the grace of God as parts of our own ornaments to our daily living, not Christmas. Matter of fact, Christmas kind of ruins it a lot of times because it's become a gift exchange thing, and we really don't see the grace that's oftentimes behind that because it's become something that's expected and everybody does it. And maybe the week before, the month before, 6 months before, give a gift to somebody and when you go, oh, I don't have anything for you, and say, that's why I'm giving you this gift now. This is a gift. It's not a present. It's not an exchange. I just want to share God's blessing in my life to you as Christ has extended himself, his grace, to us. Our goal should be to extend our grace, the grace of Christ in us, to everybody around us. We need to put on the ornament of grace in our lives. All types of ornaments are used for Christmas decorations as we celebrate the birth of Christ this Christmas. But let us, as Christians, decorate ourselves with the internal spiritual ornaments of our faith and grace. The ornaments of a meek and quiet spirit, the ornaments of a wise reprover, the ornament of grace, showing God, showing Christ to others, receiving the grace from God. And that we live a humble and obedient life for the Lord. And these are the ornaments that we should be wearing in us and not worry too much about those external things. Celebrate the birth of our Savior with the ornaments of our faith in Christ. Show the grace of God in you every day, not just the Sunday before Christmas, and on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but every day, put on the ornaments of a Christian inwardly and let others see Christ.